Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 6:40 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, meow. We've got Wes Moreno joins us. He's the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here this morning.
Hey, good to have you. Well, let's start with the big news of last week. Obviously, the storm that hit Escambia County. Most of the damage out on the beach, I think, other than the flooding that took place at the Forest Creek Apartments. But I have to imagine that there are areas of the county that got pretty bad damage that we just haven't really heard about on the news, but nevertheless required some serious attention either during or after the storm. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right. We had a lot of trees, a lot of vegetative debris come down throughout the night. And I'm a public works guy, so I'm going to brag on public works right off the bat. They were out at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, throughout the night, around the clock, clearing roads, making sure the roads were open. And by the morning, we had most of the trees and most of the roads cleared from fallen trees and vegetative debris. There were some areas that did experience some flooding, of course. And, you know, those areas that experience the flooding are areas that lie, like Forest Creek, they lie on the edge of Jones Swamp, or they lie on the edge of a creek that also serves as a drainage way. And so they do experience flooding when we have these 15, 16, 17-inch rain events. So, unfortunately, we did have some houses that got that water, that did get water in them. I will say this, though. I will say there are a lot of areas of the county that historically had flooded that did not flood. And some of that, even since Sally, some of the projects we've built, constructed, some of the money we've put in the ground, if you will, absolutely worked well. And I would say our level of flooding was much less throughout this event than in prior events. And some areas that did flood, like Forest Creek, it did take longer for them to reach that stage, even though they did flood. It did take longer. But overall, I think our drainage infrastructure fared well. Our crews responded flawlessly. EMS, fire, law enforcement, sheriff's department, they're just such good partners, and they orchestrate well. We orchestrate well here. And it was, it was a pre-event, I guess, maybe a practice event for us. But we do it well, and we had a hurricane exercise a couple of weeks ago, and
yeah,
the guy was asking questions, say, what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with this? And finally, I just said, listen, we're going to handle it. That's what we do. There's enough experience in this room at the Emergency Operations Center that there's not much most of us haven't faced. I mean, I've been in this business for 30-something years. I've been through hurricanes. I've been through landfill fires. I've been through ice storms. I've been through tornadoes. I've been through flooding events. And everybody in that room, there's enough experience in that room that has been the same. And so when you bring the law enforcement piece together and FPNL piece together and us and EMS and Red Cross, we're pretty good at it, honestly.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I agree with you that a lot of the projects that have been done have made things better so that they either, if they do flood, they flood later or not as badly or not at all. And that's, that's very good news. I will say the one thing I've been thinking about with this is had a good conversation with Jonathan Owens last Friday when we were doing storm coverage. And, he kind of made a point that got me thinking about something you've said many times, which is, you're short of personnel. Okay. You're short of personnel kind of across the board. In some divisions, it's worse than in others, but in order for the flood mitigation infrastructure to work properly, you have to be able to mow the grass and remove the limbs and prevent the blockages and make sure that the pits are properly maintained so that they drain properly. And, you know, things like I saw the one in Old Palafox in Kenwood that was full. I'd never seen it full, and it was overflowing onto the street. You couldn't drive the street and that kind of stuff. And I never know whether that's just it exceeded capacity or whether they just haven't been maintained the way they should be if we were fully staffed. So my question is, do you have the staff in your mind that you need in order to make sure that all of that stormwater infrastructure is properly prepared so that it's, if a storm hits, it works the way it's supposed to?
Well, the good thing in Public Works is we have been able to ramp back up. You know, we were 50, at one point we were 60 or 70 people down. We have just a handful of vacancies in Public Works right now, which to us seems fantastic.
That's great.
From where we were. Yeah, that's fantastic. And the other thing that we're doing that we've done and that the manpower shortage has kind of made us take a look at is we have contracted out a holding pond maintenance for the first time last year. And so, you know, I say this all the time, in 2007, 2008, we had 300 and some ponds. We're at 1,000 ponds right now.
Wow.
And we keep accepting infrastructure every meeting.
Right.
So every meeting, you'll hear the board, hey, we accept the final plat for whatever the subdivision is.
One, two, three in a week, yeah.
So here comes more holding ponds. Mm-hmm. Here comes more asphalt. Here comes more curb and gutter that has to be swept. The one thing I can say that's positive is, you know, we've increased our code to a 100-year event pond and even conveyance. We've increased our conveyance capacity, which has helped immensely in flooding events. But still, when you're having that kind of a rain event and you get 15 inches in 2 or 3 hours, you really can't design your way out of that. I mean, you're doing the best you can. Our infrastructure worked well, but still, it's hard to design your way out of that kind of a rain event. Because you just can't do it. I mean, 15 inches of rain, 2 or 3 hours, that's, but you just don't design for that. You can't build your way out of it either.
And you know, I know it's sort of a weird way to look at it, but I even look at the tornado and think, you know, I was talking about this yesterday, like, if that tornado had started about 5 miles, you know, northwest of where it really started, it would have cut a path right across residential areas instead of what we sort of got weirdly lucky about, that it went over the water and then went to the beach where they're hurricane defended. So it's, you know, could have been a whole lot worse for that. We're talking to Wes Moreno. He's the Escambia County Administrator. Hang on for just a second, Wes. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And this is brought to you by Fresh from Florida. And local farmers want to let you know Florida watermelons in season right now. Learn more. Follow freshfromflorida.com from the Florida Department of Agriculture. And the good news is we're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays. It looks like everything's running fine right now. Accident Garcon Point Road right near the Love's truck stop, but as I understand, not a roadblock right now. And certainly if you see an accident or a slowdown, I'm sorry, your texts are funny. 437-1620 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Now back to Escambia County Administrator Wes Miaureno. Somebody sent that one in. I couldn't resist.
That's what I get for checking traffic text.
I know,
I'm so sorry.
Hey, just a quick thing. Is Juneteenth an official Escambia? Like I thought it was, and then I went looking on Monday, and I couldn't find anything to confirm that it was. Is it? Isn't it? Were you guys closed Monday?
We were. It is an official county holiday.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Last year, or maybe the year before last, was the first observance of Juneteenth.
Okay.
But it is an official holiday. Yes, it is.
All right. Well, thank you for clarifying. Like I said, I had looked and I couldn't find anything to confirm, but I thought that I remembered that being the case. One thing I wanted to ask you about, you know, it's kind of been in the news, and I was going to ask you anyway. Part one of the OLF-8 question is, have you had any opportunity to suggest that we open the land up for public use as a park until it gets developed? And part two is, you know, Commissioner Bergosh has been talking on the news about a couple of other local entities that are interested. I know you've been meeting with Horton. Where are we at?
So we did meet with Horton last week, and it was a very, really good meeting. They asked a lot of questions, and we asked a lot of questions of them. And so it was more of an information gathering meeting for them and for us. And when we left, the way we left was that they were going to go back and look at their business model, I believe, and conceptual plan, and maybe update the plan and then send us a counter offer at some point in time in the upcoming weeks. And that's how we left the meeting. As far as hearing from other entities, now Sterling was in that meeting, and they partnered up with D.R. Horton, so Sterling was in the meeting.
Okay.
And so, but beyond that, I have not officially heard or received any letters of interest or any offers or had any conversations with any other entity up to this point. Other than, let me back up. There was Blue Stem Partners a couple of weeks back, who me and Allison met with virtually, and he was expressing some interest, and I think maybe he's kind of backed off a bit because we've not heard back from Blue Stem Partners.
Okay.
So today, as we said, D.R. Horton is who's at the table.
Okay, so at this point, we really only have the one as far as active, current, expressing interest proceeding, as far as you know.
As what's been, as in the communications I've had, they are it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. That helps clarify things. And then just the last one, just because I want to give you a chance to talk for a moment about it. People may not realize it's Amateur Radio Week, and, you know, my dad and my grandfather were all ham operators and all that. And there's actually an exercise coming up, this weekend, I think, at Ashton Brosnahan. Is that right?
Yeah, there is. Sure is. 24th, 25th, the Amateur Radio Relay League Field Day, and they'll be setting up out there and, you know, setting up an emergency site, if you will, for emergency operations, communications rather. And so they'll be having 2 days of field day and communicating with the ham operators across North America. And so it'll be a good 2 days. And, you know, they do play a role in our emergency response and other things. They kind of go unheard of, if you will.
Right.
But they are there, and they do provide a good service to Escambia County and all across North America, for that matter.
Yeah, they are a great sort of last and alternate line of information defense when bad things happen, and you don't realize you need them until you need them. Same happening in Santa Rosa County as well, and I'll tell you, my stepdad was WD8CYM, and my grandfather was WA8NUJ, and when you grow up in a ham family, these are the things you know. So, Wes Moreno, I won't say the other name, Escambia County Administrator, as always, Wes, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you do, keeping us informed, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. You